Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It might help if I find my microphone. I was sitting there, I'm like, I'm missing something here. Oh, yes, the microphone. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Second hour now upon us this Saturday evening, May 26th. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander in the studio with me tonight, as he always is. Keith now available for extended play, and so he's staying over. This Memorial Day weekend, holiday weekend. Hope everyone's enjoying it so far. Hope you enjoy it all the way through Monday night. We're having a nice show tonight. Topics are heavy, but the mood is light. It's easy like Sunday morning here on a Saturday night in Memphis, Tennessee. AM 1380 WLRM Radio, our flagship station. That's where we are. Going out also to the AMFM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Lots of news still to cover. We have not yet reached the halfway point of tonight's broadcast, so you know you're still in for quite a bit. People ask, why does this show exist? What separates this show from so many others? Well, the answer is quite a bit, to say the least, but I'll give you one prime example. There's no other show in the country that will take to task Al Sharpton and put him in his place for making comments like this. Now, I don't bring forth the following quote from Al Sharpton to be rude or insulting. Once again, it is what it is, and he said it, so we're going to talk about it. But, you know, when I see quotes like this from Al Sharpton, and this was made to the Wall Street Journal, I feel the need to use my program, since no one else will, to bring history into accord with the facts. And this is what Al Sharpton said. And I can guarantee you, when he said it to the person that was interviewing him, he received no challenge, no follow-up question. They took it as holy writ, wrote it, and published it, and that was it. Because with an elementary grade school follow-up question, you could have completely demolished Al Sharpton. But here's what he said to the Wall Street Journal. And I quote, and I'm going to read it as he said it, so don't think I'm using poor grammar here. This is Al Sharpton, word for word, and I quote, "White folks was in the caves while we was building empires. We taught philosophy and astrology and mathematics before Socrates and them Greek homos ever got around to it," end quote. I'm going to read it one more time. I got to read it one more time just so it'll sink in. "White folks was in the caves when we was building empires. We taught philosophy and astrology and mathematics before Socrates and them Greek homos ever got around to it." That was Al Sharpton to the Wall Street Journal. So basically what it's saying, Keith, is at some point in history, African civilizations existed that were far superior to anything whites were doing at the time. Of course, when you have to look for it and find it, you know, you're dealt a great challenge there. But I put a picture up on the website. It's of Rome 2,000 years ago versus modern-day Africa. And Rome 2,000 years ago, you've got this beautiful, ornate architecture. You've got these immaculate gardens. Africa today, you've got mud huts, okay? And that's, you know, again, that's just a fact. But Keith, please help me. What civilizations is Al Sharpton talking about? And furthermore, what happened to them? And if blacks were so advanced, you know, what happened with that?
You know, it's incredible. This is invincible ignorance. And, of course, it is rampant among those in the black community. For example, I think the Nation of Islam maintains that the white race was created in test tubes by mad black scientists or something. You know, no falsehood is, you know, too bizarre or too extreme that it won't be endorsed by these people. And Al Sharpton has put himself right in the loony bin with the rest of them. I was just thinking as you were reading that, James, the anti-homosexual comment made by Sharpton about Greek homos doing this, that, and the other. Imagine if a white politician or a white spokesman or Pat Buchanan or anyone else had made that comment who was not black. They would be banished from the airways. They'd be banished from the solar system. basically, by the Jewish-run media in America. But Al Sharpton can say it, and it doesn't even get a comment from anyone. You know, how can Rachel Maddow bite her tongue? How can Bill Maher bite his tongue? But they do. You know, there is an incredible double standard here. And as long as there is a double standard, there will be no peace racially in America. You've got to have an objective way of determining who gets the goodies in society, who gets censured, who gets airtime, that works the same way for everybody. When you don't, there is going to be a perception of injustice because there's a reality of injustice. When Al Sharpton makes comments like that and doesn't draw any type of fire whatsoever, it's incredible. Of course, you're seeing now also in the black community a crazy situation. You're seeing the NAACP coming down on the side of homosexual activists regarding gay marriage and the Defense of Marriage Act and President Obama's support of gay marriage and his opposition to the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, if that you ever needed proof of where the black race in America is coming from, that's it. Basically, principle, forget about it. Religion, Christianity, you know, you will find black ministers galore who will tell you that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, and they act like, you know, little Jack Horner who stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum when he makes that comment, you know, like that. They've got some great insight into the problem. But blacks, when given the opportunity to vote on the issue of gay marriage in California in 2008, they were drawn to the polls by the opportunity to vote for a black man for president, Barack Obama. But while they were there, they pulled the lever at the rate of 73% against gay marriage, 27% for.
And God bless them for that.
But you know what? When it gets right down to the nut cutting, as they say down here in the rural South, race trumps everything. If Obama is for gay marriage, they're for gay marriage. The NAACP is for gay marriage. And it's absolutely, you know, again, jaw-dropping hypocrisy. You know, it's like we have a local radio firebrand in Memphis named Thaddeus Matthews who says that when given a choice, he'll vote for the brother man rather than the other man. Well, if this doesn't show that 95% of the black population thinks exactly that way, forget about principled arguments, forget about ideology, forget about philosophy. All they do is compare skin tone, and that's who they're going to vote for. And they don't care if Barack Obama comes down on the side of bestiality. They're going to be for Barack Obama because he's a black man running against a non-black man.
Well, and you know, speaking of Obama, I was reading a quote from him in 2008 saying, rightly at that time and in that day and age, which wasn't too long ago, Barack Obama said that when it comes to marriage, it's only a union between a man and a woman. So 4 years later, of course, as Obama has said, he's had an evolution on this issue. Well, of course, his evolution is dictated by political correctness. I believe that Obama has the ability to pick whether he wants scrambled eggs or eggs over easy for breakfast. But above and beyond that, you know, of course, he has no control. But we got to take a break. We'll be back.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-born wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs, without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks. So that was Al Sharpton's quote and Keith Alexander. You know, I'm still, though, Keith... You know, he didn't mention what civilization he was talking about, and I guess it doesn't pay to ask or find out. That would have left him stupefied, which isn't easy to do. And remember, we have a history with Al Sharpton. We ran Sharpton out of Memphis when he tried to dig up Nathan Bedford Forrest, literally. Wanted to dig up Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave and his wife and move them to another place. And we were the only people to challenge him, and we won the day and got great media coverage as a result. Anyway, shifting gears now. This is a story, folks. My goodness. Illegal aliens are receiving billions in tax refunds. Now, we're not just talking about welfare, which you expect them, unfortunately, to receive. Illegal aliens receiving taxpayer refunds from the IRS, the United States government. Billions of dollars worth. Now, what do I take from this story? Number one, we, as the taxpayers, are funding our own displacement. Number two, despite being enraged over stories like this, as any normal American would be, they are still going to flock to reelect an overwhelmingly vast majority of incumbents in November, and this has got to change. Around and around we go. Ladies and gentlemen, however, again, this is truly one of the most infuriating stories I've ever seen. We're going to play a clip for you now. It's about 7 minutes long, but I want to play it in its entirety because it really sets the table for what Keith and I are going to be talking about for the next couple of segments. Here it is.
13 Investigates has discovered that millions of illegal immigrants are getting bigger tax refunds than you are.
And it's all because of a massive tax loophole that costs billions, and you're paying for it. Our investigative reporter, Bob Siegel, has spent the past 3 months uncovering this problem right here in Indiana. He tells us tonight how the IRS is simply handing out your tax dollars to people who don't even live here.
We are not showing his face, and he does not want you to know his name. But this longtime tax consultant does want you to know what he's discovered.
There's not a doubt in my mind. There's huge fraud taking place here.
He came to 13 Investigates to blow the whistle on a nationwide problem with a huge price tag.
We're talking about a multi-billion dollar fraud scheme here that is taking place.
The scheme involves illegal immigrants who are filing tax returns. You see, everyone who earns money in the U.S. is required to pay taxes. The IRS says it's even required for those who are working here illegally. Of course, undocumented workers aren't supposed to have a Social Security number. So for them to pay taxes, the IRS created what's called an ITIN. It's an individual taxpayer identification number. While that may have seemed like a good idea, it's now backfiring in a big way.
I think the public needs to know about this.
This tax preparer says his office has been flooded by illegal workers who have figured out a loophole. It allows them to use their ITIN numbers to get huge refunds from the IRS. The loophole is called the Additional Child Tax Credit. It's meant to help working families who have children living at home. But 13 Investigates has found many undocumented workers claiming the tax credit for kids who live in Mexico. And we're talking lots of kids.
We've seen 10, 12 dependents, most times nieces and nephews, on these tax returns. The more you put on there, the more you get back.
Our whistleblower says he has thousands of examples. He showed us some of them after crossing out all identifying information on the tax returns.
We're getting an $11,000 refund on this tax return. We're claiming seven nieces and nephews. Here's a return right here. We've got a $10,300 refund. Nine nieces and nephews. I can bring out stacks and stacks. It's just so easy. It's ridiculous.
This undocumented worker says it is easy.
Mucho dinero. See?
He agreed to talk with me and a translator as long as we didn't reveal his identity. He admitted his address is being used to file tax returns by four other undocumented workers who don't even live here. And what's more, those four workers claim 20 children live inside this one trailer home in southern Indiana. And as a result, the IRS sent the illegal immigrants tax refunds totaling $29,608. But we saw only one little girl who lives here. What about the 20 kids claimed as tax deductions?
Hay 20 niños viviendo aquí.
No, no viven aquí. Los otros niños pues en su país de origen, que es México.
Have those children ever lived here?
No.
Y nunca han vivido aquí.
No.
Never. They've never lived here.
There's some people who say that they shouldn't be getting that money for children who don't live in the United States.
If the opportunity is there and they can give it to him, why not take advantage of it?
Other undocumented workers in Indiana told me the same thing. Their families are also collecting tax refunds for children who do not live in this country.
Have the children in Mexico ever lived here with you?
No.
All of those children are in Mexico?
Yeah.
While this may come as a surprise to you, the tax preparer says it should be no surprise to the government.
The IRS has to know what is going on here.
The IRS does know what's going on. 13 Investigates has proof. The agency has known about this problem for years, and officials here at IRS headquarters have done absolutely nothing to stop it.
The magnitude of the problem has grown exponentially.
Russell George is the U.S. Treasury Department's Inspector General for Tax Administration. His agency has repeatedly warned the IRS additional child tax credits are being abused by undocumented workers. These Inspector General audit reports show over the past decade, the abuse has skyrocketed, now costing American taxpayers more than $4 billion.
Keep in mind, we're talking about $4 billion per year. It's very troubling.
He says even more troubling, the IRS has not taken action despite report after report from the Inspector General.
We have made recommendations to them as to how they could address this, and they have not taken sufficient action, in our view, to solve the problem.
What does the IRS have to say about all this? Well, I called and emailed for weeks, and I even went straight to IRS headquarters in Washington to get answers. But the agency said none of its 100,000 employees had time to meet with me for an interview. Apparently, the IRS doesn't have time to respond to some tax preparers either. Last year, our whistleblower noticed dozens of undocumented workers had used phony documents and false income to claim tax credits. He reported all of it to the IRS.
These were fraudulent, 100% fraudulent tax returns.
And you told the IRS that?
Yes.
Any response from the IRS?
Absolutely none. We never heard a thing.
The IRS knows about this, and they're letting it happen?
Absolutely.
Is it okay to leave the system as is?
No, it is not. $4 billion a year. Once the money goes out the door, it's near impossible for the IRS to get it back.
There's one more number I want you to think about. 2 million. That is the number of undocumented workers right now who are getting tax refunds because of this loophole. The IRS claims it can't do a thing about it unless it gets permission from Congress. Tomorrow night, I'll show you how lawmakers are reacting to our investigation, what they plan to do about it, and what you can do about it. That part of our story tomorrow night at 11. I'm Bob Siegel, Channel 13, Eyewitness News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, that appalling story was presented to by a local television affiliate, an NBC affiliate in Indiana. You heard it. I don't need to repeat it. You know what's going on. Can you believe it? Keith, we have very little time, seconds before the break. Let them know what you're going to be talking about when we come back.
Basically, James, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just one of a plethora of government benefit programs that is being abused, and it's being done, I think, with the complicity of the government. We'll be back with more details after this message from our sponsor.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to LighthouseLiterature.com. A bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
In the first hour, we talked about the black gentleman that had 30 kids by his 33rd birthday. He's asking for the state to subsidize his child support, asking for the taxpayers to do it. That's not even a drop in the bucket compared to the illegitimate children the IRS is funding through the tax refunds that they are giving to these illegal aliens. You heard the story. You know, 6 minutes long. That's when we played it in its entirety, because I thought that Indiana affiliate of NBC really laid out the case. I'm sure every producer that was responsible for that segment has now been fired. But nevertheless, it was a great segment. They're claiming, a dozen nieces and nephews as their dependents. You know, I have a child. Keith, you know how this works. You have a kid, you get $1,000 back. You get a $1,000 refund for having a kid, which, again, is nothing compared to what it costs to raise one. But that wouldn't even be a week's worth of private schooling. But nevertheless, you get $1,000 back. That's for legitimate children that we have, Keith. You're talking about 12 nieces and nephews. That's $12,000 a pop, and it's going back to Mexico. Anyway, you don't need me to reset the table. You heard the clip. Keith, commentate for us the analysis.
I'm going to cogitate and commentate on this. Look, this is just the tip of the iceberg, and illegal aliens whose children are in Mexico, but they nonetheless get to claim it because of the lax enforcement that applies to all non-whites that pay income tax in America. Believe me, the audit division is totally focused on people, wealthy white people, okay? They're not in, they ain't studying, as they say here in Memphis, people on the left-hand side of the bell curve, or people who are not white and people that don't make $100,000 a year of reportable income to the IRS. This type of stuff is rampant. We have in places like Memphis tax return preparing companies like the infamous Mo Money Taxes, set up by a black entrepreneur, quote unquote. And what they do, they harvest earned income credits. People that say they've worked a part of the year or something like this, actually not only don't pay income taxes, they get money back from the government. And this, I'm sure, is part of the scam. I'm sure that somebody like that Desmond Hatchett, the guy with 30 illegitimate children that was featured in the first hour, is probably filing a tax return and getting additional child tax credits for all of his 30 children, the ones that he is paying the princely sum of $1.49 a month for. He's getting $1,000 credit on his taxes, and if he owes no money, that means the government's cutting him a check for that amount. This is incredible. See, this is what comes when you corrode traditional family values, and you have people that want to excuse social pathology as cultural difference. This is a perfect example of Hillary Clinton's "it takes a village" concept. In other words, it doesn't matter whether these children are legitimate or illegitimate. It doesn't make any difference whether they're your children or just chillins from the neighborhood that you claim that you are supporting in some type of ad hoc arrangement. And of course, you can claim just about any that you want, because the IRS isn't checking up on this, apparently. You saw that this inspector general, who is black, by the way, and let's give him credit, this is the way it is in government generally, in the State Department and everything. People working on the ground, like this black gentleman who's with the inspector general's office, people working with the embassy in Afghanistan or in Iran or Iraq, for example, give very good, accurate information to their superiors, and that accurate information gets kiboshed if it is not consistent with political correctness. And, of course, this type of information about this rampant abuse of the tax code to get money to people that don't work is politically incorrect. So consequently, because it would redound to the discredit of Hispanics and blacks. So consequently, nothing is done. What's the old expression? When all is said and done, more will be said than done. Well, you know, nothing is being done about this. And it's part of a bigger plan, James. Here's the plan. All of the good-paying jobs in America, i.e. the manufacturing sector jobs, have been sent out, outsourced from America with the blessings of America's business elite and the blessings of America's government, which is for sale to the highest bidder. And all those K Street lobbyists are representing business interests. They're not representing you and me or the people on Main Street. Or anywhere else in America. You know, money talks and BS walks, as they say, on the mean streets of Memphis. So, and it, that applies not only on the mean streets of Memphis at Shelby Drive and Lamar, where the prostitutes hang out, it applies on K Street as well. So consequently, all of these good-paying jobs have been shipped overseas. The manufacturing sector has been cut by more than half over the past 10 years in America. And as a result, there aren't good-paying jobs, so how does the government react to it? They expand entitlements. And for lazy people, particularly minority people, this is the best of all possible worlds. They can make money without that troublesome, nettlesome problem of having to work for it anymore. They just get it from the government by filing tax returns, by signing up for food stamps. For, you know, we have a larger access to food stamps now than we've ever had in the past. And then this is linked to criminality in the black and Hispanic neighborhoods, because these people get all of these benefits from the government conditioned on the fact that they don't work or work very little. So consequently, what do they do to make money? They do want to make more money than they get. They see the government entitlements as a floor. They put their entrepreneurial skills to work, pimping, selling drugs, fencing stolen goods, burglarizing houses and selling the goods and whatnot. In other words, all of these government entitlements basically lead directly to the rise in criminality that is plaguing our country.
Keith, you're absolutely right. Now, I'll go one step further, is that it's the spoiled child syndrome. The more the government tries to give the minorities, the more outlandish they act out. I mean, you go to the neighborhood by Jerry's Snow Cones here in Memphis, and we did a video on this for the Cesspool blog. You go to that neighborhood. That was the neighborhood that my grandparents raised my mother in. It's a white working class neighborhood. My grandfather was a manager at Sears for 47 years. It was a white working class neighborhood, very well kept, modest, but nice. And now you go there and it's just completely covered up. The whole neighborhood is covered up. It's a neighborhood in transition, they say. It's completely covered up with Mexican gang graffiti. You talk about the blacks here. The more they've been coddled, the worse they act, by and large. This is across the board. And of course, there's always exceptions that prove every rule. But the fact of the matter remains, the only people that the government isn't trying to help are the people who prop up the government, the people who go vote, the people who pay taxes. You know, when have we, and behave, yeah, don't break laws, don't commit crimes. When have me and you, Keith, get married and have children, you name it. When have we ever been the beneficiaries, Keith, of anything like we're talking about here? And the answer is never. And I'm going to toss it back over to you, but I'm telling you this. This story really rubs me the wrong way, because I pay taxes in it's to the point that it pains me. I pay taxes, you know, over a quarter of everything I earn kicks back to the government so they can, you know, give it away like this. You know, that's not what I signed up for. I still do it, and I don't go along with the people that say you shouldn't pay taxes. I don't have a problem with it if it was going towards the things that our taxes are supposed to go towards, like paving roads or funding a military that puts our best interests at first rather than playing the role of global policemen. But, you know, we're not even talking about, the blacks, the Hispanics here, the illegal aliens, at least the blacks, I mean, they're getting all the welfare, and that's a shame in and of itself, but at least they're citizens, to, you know, legally speaking. these Hispanics are not, these illegal aliens are not, and this doesn't even get into foreign aid where you're talking billions and hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid that we give to all these countries for nothing. And everybody you give this money to, it only fosters more hatred for Americans, whites, the government, you name it. When are they ever going to learn?
Well, you're right on all those points. What was that group that we were talking about last year? You know, it started in Arkansas and, you know, that it's the, you know, Mid-South Peace and Justice Center is the local affiliate of it here in Memphis. Well, anyway, you know, they give seminars, groups like that, groups like the NAACP, Black Churches, La Raza, Mecca, all of these immigrant and minority groups give seminars on how to build the government like this. We're going to be back with more on this topic after these words.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, we got to move quick here because before the end of this hour, we got to work in the story about the fire captain in Miami who was sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. But before we get to that story, Keith's going to wrap up his thoughts on the previous.
Like I was saying, minority advocacy groups like ACORN, like the NAACP, just like our Mekla, La Raza, all of these groups give seminars to minorities on how to rip off the U.S. government. You saw Andrew Breitbart last year bring out the thing where the white guy came in with the woman and said that she was a prostitute and he was a pimp, and they were trying to find out how to access government benefits, and the people at Acorn were more than happy to show them how to do it. That's going on widespread. They don't show you, because of political correctness, that the very same thing is going on at black churches, at Hispanic churches, the Catholic Church is helping these people do this. It's incredible. It's a free-for-all to rip off the government. Now, let's talk a little bit about that neighborhood in transition where Jerry Snowcones is, that James's ancestors hailed from. You go into that neighborhood now, it is a Latino colony. They have businesses that have all of their signage in Spanish. They don't even want American or Anglo or English-speaking customers. They have done exactly what the government wants them to do, which is they don't want to assimilate. They just want to recreate their own society in America under more prosperous circumstances, take it over, and when they do, they're going to be persecuting the founding stock of America, you and me. That's what the government is sponsoring, and they're using our money, our tax receipts, to fund these people in their dysfunctional lifestyles. They don't have to assimilate and become productive members of society. And we've become what Teddy Roosevelt warned us about America should never become, and if we did, we would no longer be a true nation, a polyglot boarding house for the world. We're a boarding house, and believe me, the eats are mighty good here because we are giving them a higher standard of living on entitlements than they ever got in their home countries from working hard.
Keith, you're talking about that neighborhood that my maternal grandparents lived in for so many years. We need to do a political cesspool video over there. We need to break out the video camera, go out on the road, and get some stuff. We need to show them what's going on out there. And I'll show you the house that I had so many memories in, my grandparents' house growing up in the 80s. I want to tell you how pristine it is, and then I want to show you some of the house, or pristine it was, and then I want to show you some of the houses that what it's like today, I guess, in short. But there's one holdout in that neighborhood, and she's in her late 80s now. She's in her late 80s. A great Southern lady, grew up with this woman. She was my grandmother's best friend. They bowled together. Her husband went fishing with my grandfather in her house. I'll tell you, kid, I'm going to take you down that street, and I'm going to ask you to pick out the house that belonged to my grandparents' friend. And it's not going to be hard for you to do because the only one whose lawn's cut that looks like a civilized person lives there. And I'm going to see if Keith can pick it out. It's the only one that looks decent.
You know, we need to have a video going back to all the places that I lived in as I was growing up, which were nice, orderly, white working class neighborhoods where everybody was well behaved, everybody dressed up and went to church on Sunday, everybody mowed their yard, trimmed their hedges, painted their house, kept everything in apple pie order, and look at what's happened due to the blessings of diversity to those neighborhoods. If that doesn't open your eyes, nothing will.
Well, stay tuned for that. Stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org for that follow-up. Now, quickly, I want to move to this story. A fire captain in Miami has been sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. You'll remember a few weeks ago, back when the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman story was just everywhere, and it still is to a great extent, but this was when it first happened. Down a few hours south of the incident in Miami, Miami-Dade fire captain Brian Beckman, a private citizen, issued a statement during the midst of this whole hysteria on his private Facebook page, and he said basically that urban youth and ignorant, pathetic parents were responsible for what happened, and he went on. It was a little crude, but again, it was the comments of a private citizen made in a private forum, or semi, you know, it's Facebook, but it was his private page. Anyway, gentleman who made this, a white fella, has been demoted, busted down from fire captain to firefighter, and is being forced to undergo, are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, psychological evaluation and diversity training for exercising his freedom of speech. Let's go to the clip, and then we're going to toss it to Keith.
Monday night, Miami-Dade fire rescue officials demoted Brian Beckman from captain to the subordinate rank of firefighter, a disciplinary action for his post on his private Facebook page last month. It reads, "I and my coworkers could rewrite the book on whether our urban youths are victims of racist profiling or products of their failed, expletive, ignorant, pathetic, welfare-dependent excuses for parents." Beckman initially argued free speech, but later apologized to Fire Chief William Bryson, saying, "I promise that I will try harder than ever to be a decent and professional public servant to the citizens of Miami-Dade County. My family has suffered tremendously, and this has been punishment beyond anything I ever imagined."
I think that Mr. Beckman wrote was reprehensible, and unfortunately he brought in his entire department when he said him and his co-workers felt a certain way. We will not tolerate that. In that department, we won't tolerate it in the county. And so I think that the fire chief's decision was the right one.
He's apologizing for his wrongdoings, and he's got his punishment. And I think that's what the community wanted, and that's what the man got.
And that now firefighter Brian Beckman will have to undergo a psychological evaluation as well as diversity training, and his demotion is effective immediately. And the Miami-Dade Firefighter Union president says he plans to file an appeal on behalf of Beckman. The mayor says that is his job. Reporting live this afternoon from the Stephen P. Clark Center, Adriana Hopkins, 7 News.
That's the clip, ladies and gentlemen, from Miami, Network News affiliate. That's the story. Again, during the height of the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman hysteria, this white fire captain wrote this: "I and my coworkers could rewrite the book on whether our urban youths are victims of racist profiling or products of failed, ignorant, pathetic, welfare-dependent excuses for parents." That's what he said, Keith. That's what he said. And for saying that simple sentence, which any normal person would agree with, he was demoted. Obviously, that's going to result in a decrease in pay. And he is going to, as the news hostess reported, be forced to undergo psychological evaluation and diversity training. Now, as a citizen of Martin Luther King's diversity wonderland, I suppose this fire captain should consider himself lucky to have only been demoted rather than being fired for the comments he made in the privacy of his own home. Keith, you have 2 minutes.
Let me tell you, first of all, compare that with what our good friend Al Sharpton said earlier in the show that we reported.
Or Benjamin Netanyahu,
the Israeli prime minister. And you'll see exactly that, it's just what George Orwell said in Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Apparently, a white man can't catch a break. We used to hear that the black man can't catch a break. Well, now the white man can't say anything. Hate crime laws apply only to white people, even though they're written as if they punish all racially animated crime. Hate speech codes in Canada and elsewhere are enforced only against white Gentiles, okay? That's what's happening here. This is exactly following the game plan of cultural Marxism. The sensitivity session in particular that they're making this guy go through, the psychological counseling, this is what Gramsci, Adorno, Horkheimer, Lukács, and all of those people call the therapeutic state. In other words, anybody that questions the wisdom of liberal change is considered sick and has to be subjected to the tender ministrations of the therapeutic state. That's what Stalin was doing when he sent dissidents out to the gulags in the 1930s, for crying out loud. This is what America has become because of political correctness. Meanwhile, ignoramuses like Al Sharpton and bigots like Benjamin Netanyahu can say anything they please and they get a pass. This man, what this points out to James, is the necessity for white Gentiles to raise their children to be freebooters. If you work for the government, if you work for a large corporation, you're always going to be subject to being knuckled under by the establishment, by the elites who are totally sold out to political correctness. They hate their, they want to do everything in the world for people at the bottom of the social ladder who are non-white. On the other hand, they have nothing but thinly veiled contempt for white people that are one step down the social ladder or one rung down the social ladder from themselves. And this proves it. So consequently, how do you protect yourself? You protect yourself by having a job or being prepared to be in a profession or an occupation in which you are self-employed. If you are employed by others, you are going to be subject to this type of politically correct punishment.
Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, if you can stand it, if you can handle it, we've got one more hour coming for you tonight on this Memorial Day weekend edition of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards and Keith Alexander, and if I do say so myself, Keith, best show of the year so far? It's right up there. We'll be right back.